the lies of the third temple, part 97. I'm Professor Hannes Rettinghuis of the First Assembly of Yehoshua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of my books, maybe the two keys to the Book of Revelation. It's a thick book, nearly 800 pages thick. A4 book. I don't think its equivalent is in the world. There is 56 years of research in that book. Contact us at my WhatsApp. It's a plus 27 international code. So WhatsApp number 0722-367-124. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are to participate in the study, you are very welcome, very, very, very welcome. But I urge you to go to part one and start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information concerning the study. It is very important to subscribe to the channel and able to receive the notification of all the other studies. Please send this link to your friends and family. Make sure you have a pen, at least a 1611 King James Bible, and a writing pad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the wonderful name of Yehoshua. We will now continue where we left off yesterday morning. I'm still saying now the leaders, the researcher, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem makes the following statement. We're still busy with the statements. It says Numbers chapter 19 describes the offering and the instructions for preparing water for ritual purification. Listen to this statement. The instruction for preparing water for ritual purification from the ashes of the sacrificed animal after it has been burned. So they use water with the ashes, and that will work as purification. I'm so glad we have the blood of Yehoshua. We don't need a red hyphen. We need the blood of Yehoshua. The red hyphen without spot or blemish are today being bred and raised by at least one group in the United States. They what? They are busy breeding red hyphens. Now I just want to know, as time continues, because this was in 1980, 1985, 1990, so it's 30 years later now, 25, 30 years later. Yeah, 40 years. What happens to the red hyphens? Do they make biltong out of them? You know what's biltong? That's a nice meat with salt and everything that we do in South Africa. Oh, it's a nice meat, biltong. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So they use that purified, holy red hyphen. If it's time for it to be slaughtered, of age, they will make biltong out of it. You can believe me, somebody's going to make money out of it. The red hyphen must be without spot or blemish are today bred and raised by a large group, at least one group in the United States, Reverend Clyde Lott, who writes in a new 1995 Jewish publication, The Restoration. American neighbors, listen to this. American amateur archaeologist Wendley Jones of Arlington, Texas, has for many years been searching in caves near Qumran for the ashes of the last red heifer sacrificed before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Now, it gives you about 2,000 years, 1,950 years later. That's where we are today, 2024, more or less. And they're searching for the ash of the last heifer in a cave. Tell me that when they did the last sacrifice in Jerusalem in 70 AD before Emperor Titus captured Israel, because they were in siege for 9 months,
How did they know to take the ash of the right heifer and go and hide it in a cave? How would they have known? Well, for what reason? Can you imagine ash after 2,000 years still existing? Doesn't make sense. You see what is happening? They're looking for every little gimmick. But there's also a little notch in the story here. There's always a loophole to get out. A loophole is something where they can escape. It's an open door where they can escape from. You will listen to this now. So what does they say here? So Clyde Lloyd, who written in the 1995 Jewish publication Restoration, American amateur anthropologist Wendley Jones of Arlington, Texas, has for many years been researching, has been searching in caves near Aquarum for the ashes of the last red heifer sacrificed before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem 70 AD. Now that's why, because, oh, it will be so wonderful when the third temple will be opened to have the last red heifer ashes there. You need Yafashua, you don't need the ashes of no red heifer. Authorities of the temple institutes have stated, however, that third temple sacrifice and ritual cleansing can be accomplished or restored without these old ashes if they are not found. You see how they keep an open door? First, I want to draw your attention to the ashes that the archaeologists are searching for, and suddenly they're going to find it. But if they don't find it, just maybe this open door, they can do the ritual without the ashes. An evangelical group gets involved. Entering into dispute over the Temple Mount, which previously had been internally an issue between the Jews and the Muslims, came a small but vocal group of evangelical Christians. Now, what is evangelical Christian? It is Roman Catholics calling themselves evangelical Christians. Pentecostal Christians. That's what they call themselves. Evangelical, there's nothing else in Catholics. The following open letter appeared in the Jerusalem Post in 1983. It says, open letter to the Prime Minister and the people of Israel, the imprisonment of religious Israelites. Thursday, 10 March, witnessed a great setback to religious freedom in Israel and throughout the world. We refer to the jailing of an earnest, faithful son of Israel, whose only crime was to try and pray upon the most sacred site in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. Now, did you listen to the wording here? If you haven't been listening carefully, you would have missed it. What is the idea of this discussion? It's about the evangelical Christians. And evangelical Christians has got nothing to do with the Israelites. The evangelical Christians believe in the blood of Yahushua. They actually believe a lot of different things as well. We're not going to get into that now. So now listen to what it says in the discussion. It says, an open letter to the Prime Minister and people of Israel, the imprisonment of a religious Israelite. A religious Israelite, evangelical. So it's a Jew that become a Catholic. That's all it is. Thursday, March 10, witness a great setback to religious freedom in Israel. And throughout the world, we refer to the jailing of earnest, faithful son of Israel. We're referring to the jailing of earnest, faithful sons of Israel. But he's evangelical. How can he be a son of Israel?
Israel believed in the oneness. Here Israel, Yahweh, your Elohim is one.
The evangelicals believe what the Catholics believe in the Trinity God.
As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Where the Israelites or Jews believe in the oneness, not in the Trinity.
But now they call somebody that's believing in the Trinity, who now is becoming an evangelical, they call him the son of Israel, a faithful son of Israel,
whose only crime was to try and pray upon the most sacred site in Jerusalem,
or the sacred site of Judaism.
But what has the Catholics got to do with Judaism?
Instead, the Catholics hate Judaism.
That's why the Roman Catholic Church was ordained in 34 AY after Yahushua.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
now listen to the prayer,
guard the children of all nations who perform thy will.
Now thy, small letter T, will, small letter W,
and fear thy. Thy should be a capital letter T.
Great name, great should be capital G, name capital N.
It's all small letters, so it means actually nothing.
Now listen, we as evangelical Christians,
who?
Israelites,
Orthodox Jews,
evangelical Christians.
We as evangelical Christians find the imprisonment of these sons of Israel with the gates of Jerusalem biblical unconstitutional.
But you can't be a evangelical Christian and still say that you're a son of Israel, because like I say, the sons of Israel believe in the oneness of the Godhead.
Hear Israel, Yahweh your Elohim, the Lord your God is one.
The Catholics created the Trinity, one body, three heads, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
There was nothing, something, it was never ever something like that before the Roman Catholic Church was born.
This comes as an international shock to vast segments of the evangelical world.
You see, evangelical world, is that Orthodox Jews?
Definitely not.
The skeptics,
they just use the word evangelical.
Now, I'm thinking about a lot of people who are evangelicals. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, evangelicals. I'm just thinking of a couple of them. It's all of these guys with their mega churches and big things, and they were evangelicals. They were financed by the Roman Catholic Church.
What's her name?
George Meyer, no, the lady. Maya,
they are all evangelicals.
They are not Orthodox Jews.
This comes as an international shock to vast segments of the evangelical world, for the Jewish people can be restricted, and imprisonment for such a noble design staggers their moral imitation.
So they can just go on the mountain and pray.
It's got nothing to do. The evangelical has got nothing to do with the mountain.
As Protestants, you see, the evangelicals and Protestants are not the same groups.
But the Protestants believe in the yield of Golgotha.
They don't worry about the yield of Zion, where the temple is built.
The Protestants, they have purpose in the Mount Golgotha, where Yahushua was crucified.
It says exclusive and enormous Islamic groups to the most holy site.
It says the exclusive and enormous Islam claims to this most holy site, militant against historical and biblical injunctions.
The people of Israel, through Abram, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai,
Zechariah, and the early church, Stephen, Paul, James, and Jesus himself, with many others, paid the most holy price for this sanctified and sacrificed place. The Almighty declares it to be the house of prayer for all people. Father, Isaiah 56 verse 7, if the sons and daughters of Zion are restricted to access to Zion's holy hill, then the return of his chosen people to the land of promise is in vain. For the heart of Jerusalem await the foot of the law, not the trodding down by Gentiles. You see what happens here. Isaiah didn't write about the Mount Zion in the end time. This was a prophecy concerning the time of Babylon, when the Babylonians, the Gentiles, trodded the temple and the hills of Zion. Very, very interesting. See how words are used to create certain dogma and teachings. Till tomorrow morning, if it's Yahweh's will, Maranatha. Yahshua's coming back again. Hallelujah.